I'd like to start out this morning in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I hope that you have got your gifts done and taken care of. I don't know how gift giving or gift buying or gift making goes for you, but where I'm at in life right now, I'm 39 years of age. To this day, I have always struggled in the gift acquiring, gift purchasing, preparedness for gift giving. Can any of you relate to that? A few of you maybe? No one? Okay, yeah. We should talk after the service because I can learn something from you, or you're not being honest, one of the two. But I have struggled. I've struggled. And, you know, I tend to procrastinate when it comes to gift giving. And I don't know why it is, but I struggle getting things done. And so I have been shopping on Christmas Eve regularly. How many of you shop on Christmas Eve from time to time? Thank you, Doc. Thank you for being honest. Yeah. Every year that happens, when I find myself out at, you know, Christmas Eve, and I've shopped before Christmas Eve services at church that late in the day. But every year that I'm out shopping on Christmas Eve, I make a pact with myself that the next year will be better. And so, this afternoon, I'm going to get my shopping done because tomorrow's Christmas Eve, so that is one day better than I've done in past years. It's difficult for me. I think, well, I've got plenty of time, and before I know it, it is Christmas Eve, and you know, time has flown by. And I'll make a statement, maybe you can relate to this. Honey, I got to go take care of a few things. I'll be back. And she'll say, well, do you want me to go with you? No, I got this. I mean, the other 360-some days of the year, yeah, why don't you tag along? But around this time of year, it's like, no, I'll be okay. I'll take care of it. And so she knows what's going on. But, you know, in those moments, you're trying to find a gift that somehow, some way says, I bought this a month ago, right? That's what you try to do. But it's also every man for himself. So I will do better this afternoon. Plan on stopping by Walgreens, maybe Maverick, maybe Sam's Club. We'll see. But gifts are hard for me. I struggle in the gift-giving category. If you have kids in the home, it gets complicated. And maybe you've experienced this, maybe you know this is true. Multiple children in the home, they oftentimes, as they get older, go through a season where they're kind of focused on equal gift distribution. Can you relate? Where they, you know, they maybe pick up the gifts that are underneath the tree and they're trying to determine if they have equal density, if they're in equal value. A few years ago, my wife informed me that, hey, just so you know, one of our three children is very astute and very intent and is kind of keeping track of the value of things. And really? I mean, I would hope that over time there would kind of be, you know, things would even out over time. Maybe not on any given year, but over the course of our time together, our life together, before they leave my house, it'll kind of even out. We'll get things for our children that communicates our love for them and that we care for them. But they can kind of become like little communists, right? I mean, wanting everything to be even and fair and for everyone to get the same thing. That's the main focus on Christmas morning. Well, if you are married, or especially if you're newly married, or maybe if you're trying to save to buy a house, and you might communicate something like, well, hey, you don't need to get me anything this year. No, really, you don't need to get me anything this year. If your spouse says that to you, and they're so sincere, right? I mean, they're not, but they seem so sincere. If you're newlyweds, this is important. You need to understand this and get this right out of the gate. You probably still need to get them something. And the more insistent they are, no, really, really, not this, I know other years, but not this year, you don't need to get me. The more insistent they are, it might mean the more extravagant the gift actually needs to be. It's just the way it is. Gifts are complicated. We try and find the right gift. We want to give something or make something, create something, communicate the message that I care about you. You're important to me. We want to give something that makes a difference in someone's life. We want to be generous, and yet we're aware, well, we're on a budget or this and that and the other. It's difficult to purchase with money a significant gift. Last Christmas, a father named Steve Dane took his young daughter, Taylor, to a Bass Pro Shop in Oklahoma to see Santa. And Steve did not know what his young daughter was going to ask Santa. There were many children in line that day, so they waited quite a while. But when Taylor climbed up into Santa's lap, Steve pulled out his phone to videotape what was about to take place. And again, he didn't know what she would say. Well, Taylor asked Santa. She began to cry, and through tears, she asked Santa, "This year, all I want for Christmas is for my cousin Ashley to be healed from leukemia." Well, Santa put his arm around Taylor and he said, "Well, I don't have the power to heal, but I happen to know someone who does." And then this happened. I know the audio is a little tough there, but even Santa Claus knows that there are some gifts that money cannot buy. There are some gifts that he cannot provide. The ones that we really care about, the significant gifts, they're not gifts that you can put underneath a Christmas tree. They're not gifts that you can wrap up in a package. And then we think about, I mean, the hardships that life brings, the struggles that life brings, and sometimes we're all too aware that there's something more that we need in this life, something more than a new flannel shirt or a new gadget or something. There's something more that we need in this life. And so that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's what the Bible talks about. Christmas being God's gift to us. It's not a gift that we could have earned or paid for. It's not a gift that someone could have bought for us. It's only a gift that God could give. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him," in other words, whoever would receive that gift, "that they would not perish, but they would have eternal life." They could be healed from all the sickness, all the pain, all the hardship, all the sorrow, the loss of this world. One day they could experience life eternal with God in heaven. And so we celebrate that gift this time of year. At Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 tells us about the night that gift was given, starting in verse 6. "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" The angel says, he's the one you've been waiting for. He's the one you've been anticipating. Generation after generation after generation, he is the one. The Messiah has come tonight. And on that night, everything changed for all eternity. And so since that night, moving forward, things on this earth have been different. Our history is determined by the birth of Christ. We determine things that happened before Jesus and things that happened after Jesus, since his coming. And because we live on this side of Christmas, things are different for us. But I think sometimes we maybe miss the fact of how different things would be if Jesus had never been born. If there had never been a Luke chapter 2. If God hadn't given his gift in the form of his son Jesus. And so what I'd like for us to do for just a moment is to imagine what things might be like today if Jesus had never been born. How different the world would be if he hadn't come. There's an area of study called alternative history. And it's not really authentic. I mean, it's based purely on speculation. But historians like to imagine what life would be like, what things would be like if certain key events hadn't happened in the past. So they'll consider for a moment questions like, well, what if John Wilkes Booth had missed Abraham Lincoln when he attempted to assassinate him? What if Napoleon would have escaped to America? By imagining what the world would be like if these events hadn't happened, it shows you the impact of the moment. And again, it's all speculative, but it shows you the importance or significance of what happened. Things that we take for granted. Things that we don't consider the significance of. So that's what I'd like for us to do with the birth of Christ for just a moment. The Bible uses a metaphor to help us understand the impact of the birth of Christ. And it's the metaphor of light and darkness. Light and darkness. Light coming into the darkness. Light shining into the darkness. It's one of the reasons that we decorate with Christmas lights this time of year. You can trace that tradition back to times before there was even electricity. Followers of Jesus Christ, in medieval times, followers of Jesus Christ would light a candle. They would set it in a prominent place like a window to remind people, to signify that Jesus is the light of the world, that he has come into the darkness. That's the way that John, in the Gospel of John, talks about Jesus as a light that brings life to all men. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all take somewhat of a historical approach to telling Jesus' story. Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus. Mark begins by quoting the prophet Isaiah, who had written about Jesus some 700 years before his coming. Luke is very historical. He tells us all about the different events that happened around the birth of Jesus. But John, he's the last of the gospel writers to record the life of Jesus. And by the time John wrote the words, things had gotten pretty dark in the world. Darkness was all around, especially for followers of Jesus. Life was tough. They were being persecuted. Christianity was spreading quickly, but there was a lot of darkness. So here's how John introduces us to Jesus in his gospel. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Word, Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So John refers to Jesus as the Word, meaning Jesus is a physical expression, a manifestation of God. And then if it were me, I can imagine John pausing for just a moment. He's all too aware of the darkness that surrounds, the difficult circumstances, the things that people are facing. And so he wraps up that verse, the darkness can never extinguish it. The light has come into the world. That light will never go away. That light will never be put out. So we can measure the impact that Jesus has had, that the light has had in the world, kind of as if light coming into a completely dark room. It's a light that doesn't go out. It's a light that continues to shine. How many of you have ever descended or made your way into a deep, dark cave, all the way in the back, where finally, if you don't have kids that are scared of the dark around, you can say, hey, let's turn out the lights. And it's dark in there. And then with just a simple match or a candle or a simple flashlight, you can light up the entire space. When the light comes into the darkness, it cannot be put out. I think it's good for us to be reminded of that. I want us to think about some ways that Jesus has brought light, that the light of Jesus has come into the darkness that we experience here in this earth. One way that light shines into the earth, into the world, would be the way that children are treated. The way that children are treated around the world. Before Jesus' coming, children were not valued as they were after the fact. Children were sometimes seen as, well, difficult. Another mouth to feed. Until they were of age, they were difficult to take care of. And if you trace back through history, everywhere that Christianity spread, the value of children was raised. In the ancient world, the ratio of boys to girls was 1.5 boys to every one girl. People would often leave unwanted babies, especially baby girls, in the woods. They would abandon them. Well, Christians would then go into the woods. They would go into the wilderness. They would rescue the abandoned babies. They would open up their homes to care for them. And out of Christian homes, many of the first orphanages were started. Another example that Jesus has brought light into the world would be caring for the poor. It's a light that shines bright because of the value that Jesus put on caring for the poor. And if you look at it historically, you'll see how much has been done to reach out and alleviate poverty. It's been inspired by Jesus. There are countless third world orphanages and inner city missions and food kitchens, all inspired by the birth of Jesus. There's the Salvation Army, the YMCA. Compassion International, Food for the Hungry, World Vision, Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, the list goes on and on and on. Those are just a few of the well-known. But conservatively, about $25 billion this past year was given to alleviate poverty, all in the name of Jesus. A third way we might consider that Jesus has shined light into the darknesses in caring for the sick. Anywhere that Jesus went, it was clear that he was not only concerned about their spiritual needs, but he was concerned about their physical needs as well. That was a core value of whatever he did. So when he went teaching and preaching, he also went healing and helping the physical needs. In doing so, he established a pattern, an example. And so now many of the hospitals that have been started around our world, you can very clearly see have faith-based roots just by simply looking at their name. In the Council of Nicaea, back in 325 AD, the main thing that council was known for was talking about the doctrine of the Trinity. But there was also another decision they made there, and they decided that wherever a church was started, they would also start a hospital nearby. And that idea has continued on to today with this help coming from faith-based organizations. We've had many natural disasters in our nation and around the world this last year, the last few years, for that matter of fact. If you were to drill down into it, you would see overwhelmingly much of the aid comes from faith-based groups. It doesn't take much digging at all. It's been estimated just this past year that perhaps 80% of the relief for natural disasters helping people in need has come from faith-based aid. In May of 2011, when a tornado struck Joplin, Missouri, where my wife and I had lived for 4 years during college, within 48 hours of that tornado striking, I had an opportunity to go there. I was going there intent on helping. I'd gotten some people from our church to help donate some things and loaded up a trailer. Within 48 hours, made the 4.5-hour drive down to Joplin from where we were living. And I was turned away and told to drive 2 miles outside of town to a warehouse where I could leave the things that we had brought because they had been overwhelmed, inundated by local churches rising to the occasion to help, giving in the name of Jesus. I think another thing to consider, it would be fairly easy to argue that the United States wouldn't exist as the way it does today if Jesus had never been born. I mean, there would be people here, of course, but most historians say that the United States would be something like 20th century China if it wasn't for Christian roots and the birth of Jesus. John Quincy Adams put it this way, "The birth of our nation is indissolubly linked to the birth of our Savior." And you can go on and on and on and see how Jesus has shined bright into our world. Wherever Christianity has spread, the status of women has been elevated. Slavery has diminished. You could talk about the promotion of education and literacy and how Jesus has inspired some of the greatest works of art and some of the greatest musical compositions as well. You can see that the light of Jesus shines bright. And yet it can still seem like an awful dark place to live at times. The world that we live in can seem like a difficult place to be. And it reminds us all too personally that what we need is a Savior. That ultimately this world and the life that we live will disappoint us. And so we talk about the gift of Jesus and we can see the difference that he makes in society, that he's made in our culture, that he's made in the world around us. But maybe if we were honest this Christmas, sometimes it feels like, yeah, I hear that and that's great and we can sing songs of, you know, joy to the world and peace on earth, but I don't have a whole lot of joy right now. And I'm not experiencing a whole lot of peace right now. I see that out there, but sometimes if we're honest, it might seem like I don't feel that personally. And maybe for you here this morning, for some of you, you're a little bit skeptical or a little bit cynical of all this because it seems just a little bit too good to be true. You know, when our kids were young, we have three children. Jacob is 16, Emily's 13, Elizabeth is 10. And when they were young, itty-bitty, you know, it's about providing for their needs and raising them and telling them time and time again how much you love them. And embedding that idea, that truth that you love them in them. And you're there for them and you will always be there for them. And as they get older, it changes. It gets a little more fun. you can kind of, well, I hope this is okay as a dad. You kind of can start toying with him a little bit, right? I mean, dropping a little bit, you know, half-truth out there every once in a while, kind of checking, making sure that they know what's up and what's down and all that. Our son is driving now. He doesn't drive on his own. He has his learner's permit. But kind of a running joke around the house every now and then has been about, you know, a new car. And he's smart enough to know that there's no new car out at the curb. There's no new car in the driveway. He knows me, and there's nothing about me as a dad that says, I'm going to get you a new car. It just isn't. But it's a running, kind of a running joke, which someday will make it all the more fun when it does come to fruition. He doesn't know when. I mean, well, I don't even know when. But one day it'll happen. It won't be new, just so you know. But it'll happen. It'll be all the more fun. Those of you who have children, you know. If come on, you're honest. If you're being honest with yourself and with me, it's fun to kind of toy with our kids a little bit. The reason is, I mean, we have history together. They know me. They know my love for them. And yet they know also that what I'm trying to get them to think about it probably isn't true either. It's not going to happen. I think sometimes we get things twisted when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Christmas, with that attitude. It seems like it's too good to be true. Well, I see things going on all around me, but maybe my idea of God as a father is that it's not loving, not generous. Maybe we have other experiences that we tend to begin to believe. And friends, I want you to know this morning, in the midst of all of that, at the core of everything, is that God loves you so much that he gave his only son. That whoever would believe in him, they could have eternal life. It's not just a gift where we can celebrate the difference that the light of Jesus has caused in our world or in our culture or in our society, but it's a gift that God wants very much to have a dramatic effect in your personal life and the way you experience life. Now, I described the way that Jesus has changed our world as a light coming into darkness. His light has shined bright. But I want you to imagine for just a moment your life, maybe like that of an ornament. You see, an ornament is defined as a thing that is used to make something more attractive. And so this time of year, we put ornaments on the tree. We, you know, decorate our homes. We use ornaments to make things appear more attractive than they are. Well, maybe that didn't come out quite right. We use them to make things more attractive. Maybe this morning you can imagine your life as a follower of Jesus Christ as an ornament to help make the Christmas story more attractive. I mean, maybe not everyone has experienced it like you have, the Christian life. And so I'd like for you just to run with that idea for a moment. Us as ornaments, us as followers of Jesus Christ, reflecting the light of Christ, we want our lives to be a testimony to other people of what life in Jesus can be like. So, Jesus, we know, can take a horrible situation, maybe battling addiction or anger or greed, and turn it into good. Jesus can take something that is messed up and broken and redeem it. Jesus can take something that was bad and bring good from it, something that's broken and turn it into something beautiful. And I have to wonder, the room is big enough, I have to wonder if he's done something like that in your life, where he's taken something difficult, something broken, something frustrating, something bad, and he's turned it into something good. And so this morning, I want to ask you, if Jesus has taken something bad, something difficult, something frustrating in your life, and he's redeemed it, he's redeemed the pain from your life, if Jesus has done that for you, would you maybe just raise your hand this morning? You've experienced that. Would you raise your hand as an ornament today? We also know that Jesus can take situations of despair and hopelessness. And I don't know what that might be, but a lot of times we wish for, we pray for, we hope for something good and wholesome. And we strive for it, and we're doing things right, we're doing things well, we're doing the best that we can, and yet it doesn't come to pass. And we feel hopelessness, and despair, and frustration, and we're at a loss. And yet Jesus can step into those situations, and we can find strength. And it's a situation that you can't handle on your own, but with Jesus, maybe perhaps you can find some joy. You can find some strength. And so this morning, if you're here and Jesus has redeemed a difficult situation of despair for you and you've been able to find strength or find joy, would you just raise your hand this morning, maybe as an ornament? I thought there might be some people here today. There are countless people who realize, I can't do this on my own, but He can. Maybe you've lost someone this year or sometime around this time of year in past years. And so when Christmas comes around, when Thanksgiving comes around, it's just difficult. And I know that many people become discouraged and they feel lonely. And I just want to share with you, maybe some point down the road, maybe not now, but some point down the road, there will be an opportunity for you to help other people as they go through that season of life as well. Jesus can change how we feel about ourselves, what we think about ourselves. I know there are many people that look in the mirror or think thoughts that they don't like what they see. They don't like what they think about themselves. Friend, you are not who you think you are. You are not who other people say that you are. You are who God says you are because of Jesus. And you can experience a fresh start to a new life. A fresh start to a new life. And so I would just ask you this morning, if Jesus has given you a fresh start to a new life, if you experienced new life through Him, would you maybe raise your hand this morning, just as an ornament, if you've experienced new life because of Jesus? So Christmas has had an impact on us as a culture. I mean, it clearly has an impact on the world around us. It has an impact on us personally. It has the power to change us. And so here's the takeaway this week. How has the Savior given you new life? How have you experienced new life in Jesus? I'd just like for you to kind of meditate, kind of think on that question for a few moments, or maybe this week, or especially between now and Tuesday as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Maybe it's something you need to consider. How can Jesus, how can the Savior give me new life this season, this next year? In the next few moments, Julie and Rachel are going to be singing a very familiar Christmas carol. And as they sing, I really truly want you to hear the words. They'll be on the screen above. To meditate on the words, to think about the truth from this carol. A few of the phrases that I love from this song. He appeared and a soul felt its worth. He appeared and a soul felt its worth. We find worth. We find value. We find identity in Jesus. We can see how valuable we are to God as He gives the gift of His only Son, Jesus. I mean, His only Son, how much He must love us. The thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. Friend, if you are weary, if you need joy, then today we want to make sure you leave here with it. That you would leave here different. And so as they sing this morning, if you raised your hand that Jesus has changed your life, that He has redeemed a situation in your life, if you've experienced new life in Him, would you just think of how you can celebrate the birth of Jesus and what it's done for you? And if you didn't raise your hand this morning, I'd ask, would you just consider how maybe the birth of Christ could impact your life now or over the next course of the next year? Again, this series that we're starting on January 6th, Life to the Full, God wants you to have life to the full through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.